Hi, this is Andy Butcher, the editor of Christian Retailing Magazine, and I'm welcoming you to the latest in our series of retailer roundtables, when we join with some of the folks from across the industry, stores and representatives across the industry from all over the country, to reflect on different issues and topics. And at the start of a new year, we're going to be focusing today on the question of inventory and inventory control and how important that is, and some pointers we might be able to offer and share with others to help stores make a real success of 2010. I have with me today Eric Grimm, who is the Business Development Director at CBA. I have Robbie Halstead, who's the Director of Kingdom Retail Solutions, a consultancy to stores, who was formerly executive with CLC Christian Stores, and also Lorraine Volk from Banner Books Parable Christian Stores in St. Joseph, Michigan. So thanks, each of you. Welcome. Thanks for joining me today. And to say, we're just at the very start of the year, so let me just ask you quickly, how was Christmas, Lorraine? Obviously, a lot of concerns and expectations for the Christmas season. How did it go for you?
Michigan is just a tough economy right now, but I'm delighted that we were practically flat for December the year before.
Well, people say, don't they, flat is the new up, right? So that's good news in some ways, right?
It felt like a victory.
right. Eric, what are you hearing at CBA from, you know, perhaps a broader range of stores?
Well, where we sit, we typically hear this every year that it's a mixed bag. I mean, we have some stores that have been down considerably, but we have also heard some that are flat, and then there are some of the stores that have a pretty big footprint in the neighborhood, and they've been doing pretty well, actually. So we will be surveying our membership here in the next week to get a count on what that looks like. But right now, just anecdotal information.
Right.
Mixed.
Right. Robbie, what about you? What have you been hearing?
Well, I've been working mainly in the last quarter of 2009 with church bookstores, two or three accounts, and all three of those are up anywhere from 8 to 15% in sales, but they are fairly new stores over the last 2 years. So, but things there seem to be going well.
Right. Well, look, so we're into a new year. We've come out of a very busy season. You know, we may be encouraged, we may be discouraged, but we're certainly tired, okay? Christmas retail is very, very busy. Maybe the last thing sometimes stores want to be thinking is about taking on a major project, like thinking about annual inventory or inventory control. Is that something they really need to get to grips with early in the new year?
Well, you know, this is like a discipline that should be an ongoing discipline. I know there are tax issues that retailers need to be concerned of when it comes to inventory and what's in the store and that sort of thing. But anymore, it's being able to follow customer demand very closely and do it by even product or customer type throughout the year. So I think if a retailer doesn't have a pretty solid inventory strategy in place now, they should get one in place and start working on that on an ongoing basis.
Is this start of the year typically when stores are going to be investing in doing that? How about you, Lorraine?
I think it's the most important aspect of the bookstore is managing that inventory extremely closely. That's the one area that I've heard has sunk some people's ships. It just gets out of hand and it feels uncontrollable. So I monitor it every day.
Really, every day. Well, we'll come to that a little bit later and kind of drilling down into the specifics of that. But taking an annual inventory at the start of the year, is that a good discipline as well, Robbie?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's as Lorraine said, it should be part of the process every day, but at the very least, you need to get it right from the very beginning of the new year, and then from there, begin to exercise some disciplines in how to maintain it daily, weekly, and monthly as well. But yeah, absolutely, it needs to be done the first of the year.
How do you manage to keep on top of an effective inventory planning ahead for a year when we're seeing significant shifts, you know, within the market, changes in categories, and so on? How do you keep in tune to what's happening on a day-to-day basis, but look at the bigger picture and the trends as well?
Well, CBA has created a best practice a couple of years ago for cycle counting. And cycle counting is a technique that allows retailers to manage their inventory on an ongoing basis. When you look at being able to budget for open-to-buy purchases or you know, budget to purchase the most in-demand products in your store, that cycle counting becomes critical. In, you know, the best practice is four times a year, but it's not uncommon to have retailers do that on a monthly basis. In fact, some of the larger companies like convenience stores will do cycle counts monthly, and that means counting everything in a store. Typically what happens in a cycle count, though, is that a retailer will count a particular section or category or department on a regular basis, like quarterly, to be able to be sure that the data that's in the POS system is accurate and that what's on the shelf is accurate, and you know, what products are in the right places, or what products are in the right places is also accurate.
What sense do you get from CBA at how well stores are doing generally in terms of having a handle on inventory? Is it a problem area?
I think you'll find that the stores that report sales increases or flat sales are stores that have a pretty good handle on their inventory. Stores that are, you know, even with lost sales, I remember Jack Savage, one of his things is in being able to manage his inventory was, you know, yeah, the sales were down, but he was still profitable. And the ability to generate profitability in a down cycle or with down sales is really tied to inventory technique and inventory management.
Robbie, looking at it from the annual perspective, can you talk in broad strokes? Give us an idea of what are we looking to achieve? What are we looking to draw up as we're setting out, say, our plans for an annual, to go through an annual inventory?
Well, I mean, depending on the store and what they're doing, but typically when I work with stores that are looking, that have called me and said, you know, I have never done one before, how do I begin the process of doing one? In most cases, it can begin with just how your initial bookstore manager, if it's a bookstore manager, that's the one I specialize in using, how the point of sale or the software is set up to be used. And from there, I can derive whether or not there's a system in place already or one needs to be created. But typically, I'll look at a system and say, okay, what do we need to do to get the store inventoried? And normally, it's breaking it down into smaller pieces. And I will tell you, you know, in the last 2 or 3 months, I've gotten about 15 phone calls from stores who have been open anywhere from 3 to 15 years, who have never really done an effective end-of-the-year inventory. And part of that process has been because they've never done it all year. And at the very beginning of my conversation with them, it's really just breaking the store down to smaller pieces to be able to dissect it. It's one thing to do books and to do music, but when you get into the gift categories and all those areas as well, it can be extremely overwhelming and how you would maintain that and inventory it. And what I tell folks is to break it down to smaller pieces. If you have a display of one type of product, then that becomes a category in your inventory. If it's willow tree product you have, then willow tree should be a category, and you count that as one unit and go on from there throughout the store. Looking at it in one big whole piece can be overwhelming. So the key to me in my work, what I've done in the past, is breaking it down to smaller pieces.
And what are some of the key factors that they're looking at? I mean, it's very easy to get overwhelmed by numbers, isn't it? What are some of the key stats that people are looking for as they start to pore over some of these POS reports?
Well, for me, and what I look at, if you're just looking to count, that's one thing. But if you're looking to maintain your inventory on a weekly, monthly, or yearly basis, you've got to be able to look at the age of the product and what's there, and be able to pull it out and know when to let go of it and move on to something else, and to be able to do your returns in an effective way so you're not wasting money by waiting too long to do them. But typically, what I will look at and train a manager on what to do is look at the aging of the product and be able to move it out as quickly as possible to get your money back for that product. At the same time, while you're working on that, you're also maintaining that the inventory numbers are right for that particular category or department as well.
Lorette, it all sounds very time-consuming, if you know, if nothing else, and we know, you know, many stores are. We've got reduced manpower. We're already doing three and four jobs. There just isn't the time to even begin to find to do this extra stuff as well. How do you manage to do that?
Just sheer determination on the part of my staff. We We break the store down into different departments. Even the books are broken down into different areas, and certain people are responsible for doing monthly inventory, so it's not so overwhelming to do it once a year, because we've tracked and found missing items throughout the year, and so we've corrected our inventory, so it's not as overwhelming, but if it's a priority, you find time.
Right, and in fact, just coming back to what you said earlier, you were saying about it being a priority. I mean, I guess it's very easy to default to, you know, we can merchandise well, we can communicate to our customers well, we can display things well, but if we've actually got the wrong things in the store in the first place, none of those other things are really going to help, are they?
Absolutely.
Right. Tell me, so you say you don't just do annual inventory, you're doing something daily. What are you doing every day?
Well, every day I pull a report from everything that sold the day before. I use my computer as a tool, but I don't trust the data that it always gives me. So I will go through and say, you know, I sold one of those Bibles. I've sold five of them year to date. I sold the last one 2 months ago. I need to replace it. Line by line through, it's usually, you know, 200 and some items per day, but that gives me a real good idea as to what is selling, what is being replaced, and if I sold 12 of something, I knew that was a special order. My computer would say, well, keep six on hand because it's a hot seller, but I know it was a special order, and it's not something I have sold for 2 years before that. I'm not going to order it back into inventory. So by doing it every day, first thing in the morning, I think it's the best time I spend at the store every day, is that 10-15 minutes going through and making sure to replenish quickly the things that sold, and crossing off the things that are ancient and being excited that they're finally gone.
Mm-hmm. You raise a good point there too, Lorraine, about what's the balance here, folks, between the science and the art, if you will, you know, not just defaulting to the numbers on a page and so on, but having kind of an intuitive feel for your store and what's selling and who your people are. How do you balance? Is there a balancing act there, Robbie, that needs to be done between, as I say, the hard data and the heart knowledge, if you will?
Absolutely. I mean, as well as I know, as I said, the bookstore manager system, I agree with Lorraine. I would never trust it completely to run my store for me. But I would use the data as much as I could to help me. But it's got to be a balance act between, you know, knowing your store, knowing your customer base and what's moving, what's not moving, as well as saying being able to regulate the system on your own to some degree to make changes as things are happening in your store. So you've got to find a way to balance, but you have to know, you know, you have to know the product and your customer base to do that.
How do you
There's also a art to, you know, when you compare the art and the science, there's the art part of it in either testing products or responding to customers' needs and bringing something into the store. You still need that inventory visibility to measure whether or not it's a success or not. So, you know, the science is always wedded with the art, where you know, sometimes a retailer will bring something in that looks really hot, but it emotionally they might think it's hot, but when you look at the sales in their replenishment process that we just talked about, that might not really be the case at all. So,
So what once maybe a store owner or a manager or a director has kind of got the you know, the centrality of this, the importance of this, how easy or difficult is it to communicate the importance of this, being on top of this, to staff? I mean, does it just become, oh, we're just counting books to them? How do you communicate the significance of their part in being part of this to them?
It's a critical part, because when you think about how the overall system works, simple things like scanning product into the sales transaction and being sure that product is measured by the SKU becomes a critical discipline, because that's that bridge between what's out on the floor and what's in the machine. And so there's a lot of disciplines like that you don't think of in terms of inventory, but relate directly to inventory.
Are there some particular skills that are needed? Is this something that's just for certain staff who handle the backroom duties, or is it for everybody?
It's for everybody, and I think Lorraine's comment and how seriously she takes it is a key to that. The owner and the manager have got to be the the drivers behind this being a serious issue, to the point of, you know, if someone comes to the front counter looking for a book and it can't be found and it's missing, that there's some sort of procedure or process in place to let the store manager know, this book says we have one, we don't have it, and there's a process in place to identify what those areas are. But it's got to be driven from the top down for this thing to work. And if it's not, then you find that stores really just don't have the inventory control like they should have because of that.
Lorraine, was this something that you embraced from day one, or was it a realization, a kind of a discovery you came to? And if so, how was that? Was it something you read, something you heard, something you saw? What you know, really pushed the importance of inventory control to you?
Well, I have an unusual blessing. It's hereditary. My parents ran the bookstore for 35 years before my husband and I bought it 3 years ago.
So it's in your DNA, right?
and they call my mom the inventory police. and so fortunately, I've been able to bounce a lot of the things off of her and fine-tune how it works with me, with what she used to do. But she had always ingrained in me the, if everything stays in balance, you'll be okay. I mean, even if sales are down, as long as you keep your staffing in line and your inventory in line and your rent in line, you'll be okay. And so, you know, since we bought the store, the sales have gone. That's how the industry has gone over the last couple of years. But keeping everything in balance, keeping the inventory percentage-wise where it needs to be, keeps us healthy.
Mm.
And so I'm all about being healthy and staying there for our community, because I just have a heart for this ministry and for the community. And so I'm just determined to keep inventory under control. And it's a daily battle. It's just like gaining a few pounds, you know, whoops. Got to get the inventory back down there.
Right. Is there anything that each of you have inventory practices in the time you've been involved in the industry changed or developed at all? Are there things that you do differently or better now or than you did previously?
For me, I would say no. I mean, because I've been in retail about 25 years, and most of that time has been in some sort of operational inventory control position of some degree. And so the training I've gotten over the years has really allowed me to do and to kind of put systems in place anywhere I go. So nothing's really changed except to, you know, it's very, really important to be on top of it now more than ever because of where we are with our sales and our stores, that we do recognize how important it is and really just stay on top of it more.
Right. Just to stay with you for a moment, Robbie, you mentioned you particularly have involvement with church-based stores. Are there any peculiarities, as it were, or distinctives in terms of the challenges or issues for inventory control within a church-based store?
Well, other than to say that most of the stores I work in, because I've worked in mega churches as well as smaller churches, they have more of the time to do the work that it takes to get inventory under control. So really, again, just based on the small sampling I've dealt with,
right,
there really should be no reason why inventory isn't a priority there for
right.
sure.
And is that because is that because they're not as busy during the week, or is that just
exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Right.
No,
go ahead.
We've seen changes from the old techniques of inventory management, from replenishment style inventory management, which was primarily the old min-max type of strategy, to more demand-based inventory management and actually moving into category management, where inventory becomes how the store is reflected. So the inventory matches who the customers are, so you measure customer preference on a local marketplace, and you build the inventory to that. So replenishment is a key part of it, but even more so using some of the other tools that are out there now, like above the tree line or cross scan data reports or our custom inventory accelerator, which is a tool that helps stores optimize the long tail or the backlist in a store. We see more emphasis and focus on that to more closely match what's happening in the store to the local marketplace, so they can put the most profitable merchandise, if I can say that, or the hottest selling materials that are in there based on what the customers are asking for in a whole different way.
You mentioned the emphasis there on replenishment. What's driven that? Is it the analytical tools, or is it the change and improvement in distribution that makes it easier to get new?
Well, it's more being able to sell more with less inventory. So if you look at the traditional min-max type of replenishment, it gives you a historical perspective. So we carried six of this product, we sold six, we got to reorder six. But the new techniques are, like Lorraine mentioned, you know, if it was a special order, you're not going to order another six. Or if you're finding that there's higher demand for other products, you're able to shift the safety stock, if you want to use that term, to be able to have more of the products in stock that are selling faster. Because when you really look at a key measurement for inventory, it's the number of turns. And in a business that has a lot of backlist, which assumes that there's going to be a lot slower turns, to generate cash flow, you got to maximize those turns in a way that you have the most of what customers are asking for in the store, and not have your inventory invested in products that don't sell or take a very long time to sell. And there's a balance in that. If you look at a book or a CD or something like that, you know, those margins and how fast they sell generate one kind of cash flow, as opposed to, say, a commentary or a resource book, or, you know, something that is very expensive, a high-end Bible, where the profit margins are a lot greater, but you don't sell as many. So where's that balance in the store on where you should invest those dollars for the high-turn items, and what do you have to invest in those other items that match closely who your customers are and they're willing to pay for that? So it's a balance between how fast stock sells and what the mission and ministry of the store is, and who's buying what when.
Right, and within our retail channel, we have this very interesting challenge, don't we? Of a very strong front list driven sector, but also a very strong, very healthy, and important backlist. You know, perennial backlist. That's quite a balancing act, as you suggest, to get both there. Robbie, coming back to something you mentioned earlier, let's talk about backlist and older titles. How do you decide when you're moving stuff off the shelves? How do you decide between marking down or returning?
Typically, in the amount of product for me, in most stores I work with, I let that be the deciding factor. If I go into a store that's, you know, recently opened or been open only 6 to 12 months, and they have product that just isn't moving, I do recommend. In some cases, I will recommend some type of special sale to get the product out of there, buy two, get one free, or market it 30% off or whatever to get it out of there. But I also kind of take into consideration where the store is financially and whether or not if they're able to get cash flow in and it helps them to pay the bills they're trying to pay, or whether it'd be better off to just send the product back and get full credit to take care of a vendor that way as well. So it all depends on the store I go into and how I work
right
with them there.
Lorraine, how about banner books? How do you handle the issue of non-moving product?
My first choice is usually to send it back. I do an awful lot through distributors, and they're usually very good about taking product back. My customer base thinks that 25% off on a clearance table isn't truly a clearance table, so until it gets beyond the 50% mark, unless it's, you know, a specially promoted hot title, you know, they want those clearance items to be $4.99, $5.99.
Right.
So generally, I find it's better to return them and reinvest the dollars in some bargain stuff if that's what they're looking for.
Right, right.
I just worked with a church in Jersey that had probably opened a store like 2.5 years ago, and their initial inventory was probably 60% of it was on the shelf. And so after realizing it couldn't be returned and knowing that the product that was there probably wasn't product that matched the folks who were attending the church, we did a sale. We did paperbacks for $3 and hardcovers for $5. And they lost a ton of money on that, but at the same time, they gained some revenue they never would have gotten had we not marked those books down to a reasonable price. And within 30 days, we sold 550 books.
Right, right. Something that occurs to me is that
money they would never had we not done that.
Right. An additional thing that occurs to me just hearing you talk is an additional benefit maybe of regular inventory control, stock checking, as you're talking about, is that it also improve product knowledge, because you're kind of reviewing and assessing what's out there on a continual basis, aren't you?
Yep.
Kind of keep you abreast of what is available, and you're better able to talk and inform customers of what's there. Now, let's say some folks have been listening to our conversation here, and they've been thinking, you know what, we really need to address this. We understand this now, but they're still a little bit overwhelmed. Could you, each of you, give them maybe, let's say, just two or three specific pointers or things they could do to start to really get hold of inventory in the coming months?
Well, I think what you started out with, Andy, is knowing what you have. We've had some very successful retailers who never really took an inventory, or they might have only took an inventory on a replenishment basis. But I remember one retailer who decided to inventory all of his gift products and found that he had gift products that had been in the store for over 2 years and never even realized it. So finding out what's on the shelves and what you actually have and making sure it's right in the POS system would be, a great resolution to make sure that the inventory is accurate, and then keep that inventory accurate through cycle counting.
Right. Lorraine, a couple of suggestions you could offer to people to get some baby steps, maybe?
Sure. I would say my number one is the most important moment of the day is to sit down and go through the inventory that sold yesterday so that you have a good handle on what's moving in your location. The second I would say is order the smallest reasonable quantity and figure out a quick replacement place to replenish it. So instead of getting five of something, get two, and when one sells, get another, and when you're only down to selling one a month, only keep one on the shelf. And then probably the third would be you have to commit to some items that will never get turns in your store, like your set of commentaries. Pick one set of commentaries, keep the whole set, even though some of them will never get the turns, and then, commit to having other departments that are going to get higher turns to cover those items that you've committed to stock, even though they're never going to get the turns that you desire.
I have to ask on that. So you're going to bring in something that's never going to turn. Why? What's the thinking there?
Well, for instance, I have one set of commentaries, and it's, 60 commentaries. I sell 8 Revelation every year, but Amos Obadiah, I'd maybe sell one a year. Mm-hmm. So instead of having holes in the middle of the commentary set, I want to, if someone needs Obadiah, I want to have something for them.
Right.
But that particular one book is not going to ever get the turns that I would want.
Yeah. And Robbie?
Well, probably three things I would say. I know the first one seems like common sense in our industry, but really pray. Pray about the product you're bringing in, and just make sure that what you're bringing in is going to be product that in some degree you believe is going to be a product that would move for you. I know sometimes it's hard to decide what that will be and how it will be, but really taking the time out to seek God in what you're doing and the products you're bringing in. And then, the other point, probably the other issue I would have is, a lot of stores, and again, my area is really church bookstores, a lot of the managers are making the stores their personal store, meaning the products they're bringing in really reflect them but may not reflect the people who are coming in. And so, you need to remove the personal out of it and really just see and find out what target audience you're reaching and really make sure the product you have is reaching them as much as possible. And then the other part, as I said in the beginning, would be to take inventory and then break it down into pieces and not get so overwhelmed as much as you can, not get overwhelmed by breaking down the smaller pieces and looking at it and getting it right. One step, one hour, one day, one month, one week at a time, whatever, and just working as best as you can to get it to a place where it becomes the priority it should be.
So, right. So a little bit at a time is better than putting off a major project and never getting around to it, right?
Right. And if you're not doing it every day, you need to start doing something. Line to get the inventory right every day, from this point on.
A last question for each of you here, if I may. I think people will have picked up some great ideas and insights and some encouragement here, too. Is there a specific tool or two that each of you might want to point somebody to? Maybe it's a book, maybe it's a website. Eric, maybe CBA has a particular program or training or opportunity or something. Something that would that anybody who's listening to this could go to get some further practical help.
Well, we do have a coaching and consulting program with in partnership with Mike Hockett, who helps new retailers or retailers who are struggling to really identify those key areas. And he has a team of coaches that help with that. We also have a tool called Custom Inventory Accelerator, which really helps reset a store. It looks at where you're at now and then begins the process of eliminating those titles that your customers aren't wanting, taking the slow-moving stock off the shelf, and putting in more faster-moving stock. Again, it's not something that you just want to say, oh, I just want to put fast-moving stock in here. That's not the goal. The goal is to provide a resource for the community for all that the body needs. And many of the ministries for retailers is equipping. It's resourcing the church and people's individual faith walk. So that coaching system, or even investing in a inventory management tool like Above the Tree Line or one of those, I think it's very eye-opening in what happens in the store.
And they could find people could find out more information about that at the CBA website, right?
Right. That's
okay, cbaonline.org.
Yes, thank
great.
You.
Great. And Lorraine, is there a particular book or something that you could recommend to folks as well?
There's an older book. I think people would still be able to get their hands on it. It's by Chatzkin, Chatzkin, and it's a little staple-bound booklet called The Mathematics of Bookselling. And I look at it probably every year just to remind myself on how important those turns are to having a bottom line.
Great. Well, my thanks. Well, my thanks to each of you, Eric Grimm, Robbie Halstead, and Lorraine Volk. Thanks for giving us some of your time and your thoughts and your insights. It's been a great help, and I appreciate you for sharing your thoughts with others.
Thank you.